Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Reading from Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, reading to the end of the chapter. Here we have God's holy word, also Paul's experience, as God taught him and now inspired him to write it. Romans 7, verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was that then which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's give thanks for these words. As I've often said, God teaches us both by precept, teaching, and by example. And we have both here. Teaching of God that Paul learned, passing it on, giving us that example in a wonderful way. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name that we can come to a throne of grace to find help in time of need. We give thanks that, especially for those who have cried, pass me not, O gentle Savior, that Thou hast not passed us by, and Thou hast called us, even called us before we asked, called us when we were wandering sheep in the wilderness, called us when we were refusing Thee, and Thou hast come after us, dying for us while we were yet enemies, dying for us when we were ungodly. We give thanks for all of that, and then, Father, sending Thy Spirit to convict us, to teach us, to turn us, to call us, especially to take the things of Christ and both show them to us and give them to us through Thy Word and Spirit, all in Thy grace. And we give thanks, Father, for that great grace, and we pray for more of it today, that again we might have, as that early church did, great grace, that we might serve Thee better, we might give witness, as they did, to the resurrection of Christ. And we know that wherever the witness of that resurrection is given, it is also of His death and suffering, of His life, of His teachings. All of that is together in Thy Word, and we give thanks for it, both as it was spoken before Thy coming, Lord Jesus, and Thou in Thy coming, and as Paul continues to teach it here, when he can say, recognizing himself as a wretched man, that he thanks the Father of Thee, Lord Jesus, and all through Thee. And we pray now in Thy name that Thou wilt not only give us the spiritual blessings once again in a great way, that Thy kingdom might come, that Thy will might be done more on earth as it is in heaven, even more than it is, as the Great Awakening some number of years ago was spoken of as Thy working extraordinarily amongst them. We pray that it might come again by Thy Spirit, making Thy Word effectual. We pray, Father, also for the other blessings that are needed for those in suffering. We give thanks for the blessing that we have, far more than many others who have suffered under the ravages of the hurricanes, the fires, the winds, the tornadoes, this and other country with earthquakes, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the sick. We pray for healing for them, especially by faith. We pray also for homes, particularly for the broken homes and the children in them, We pray that the church will teach thy word what thou hast joined together. Let not man put asunder, that we might come back to thy word and not have so many broken homes and troubled children. We pray that the church might see its error when we have looked at it in lightness and lies. We pray also, Father, for our government, for our leaders. Put thy fear in their hearts, the beginning of wisdom. We pray that thou would guide us as a nation, as we have an election before us, that we will not vote for those that promote death, but life, and especially life in Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking at these words again of Paul, dealing much with the law, as I've said before, I believe it was Jonathan Edwards that wrote, this is one of the areas in Scripture over which the church has much difference in the place of the law, in all ways of the whole nation, all ways of the church, and also the ways of the law, as Paul says in Galatians, being a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. There are those who deny that, those who believe that God works in different ways than what Paul describes here of himself. And then to the Corinthians, when he says it in plural, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We can see that Paul gives much place to the teaching of the law to this church at Rome. Yes, it was what we sometimes call the New Testament church, but it was really part of the church of the past as well. As Paul says to the Ephesians, joined with the saints of old. And they were. And they all had, if it was taught rightly, both the law and the gospel. Last week I mentioned that there was one who did not want to hear any speaking of the law, thought it would dishonor Christ, but certainly Christ spoke of it himself when he said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And it was here the Lord teaching Paul to be his witness, and the Spirit inspiring him to write these things as much as he does of the law. We can go back to the first chapter, and though the word law is not mentioned there, like it is in the second, the third, and here in the seventh chapter, but different laws are mentioned in that chapter, the first chapter. Fornication, adultery is mentioned in verses 26 and 27 of that first chapter. Fornication is again mentioned in the 29th verse of that chapter, and it is included in the breaking of the seventh commandment. Covetousness, the 10th commandment, is also there in verse 29. And then we read of debate, deceit, whispers, backbiters, as the breaking of the 9th commandment, which states, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Certainly, backbiting is that, as well as the whispering, deceit, all lies, as the 9th commandment sometimes is described, thou shalt not lie. Also in the 6th commandment, thou shalt not kill, or better rendered, thou shalt not murder. And that is there too, here in this commandment. Also, the 5th commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And in verse 30, we read of those who are disobedient to parents, as we have that whole list of sins that are so prevalent and will be more prevalent toward the end of the age before Christ comes in our time. We read of other ways. Paul ends that first chapter with the words that are solemn words of those who not only do such things, but, as he says, have pleasure in them that do them. Listen to those words in verse 32 of Romans 1, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Two things, one doing it, and the other pleasures in those that do it. I think that's something we have to think about in our voting for government leaders. I had two calls lately asking if I would vote for a particular president. And my answer was, absolutely no, I will not vote for one that murders the unborn. the worst thing almost in the world, the worst thing in our country, murdering an unborn baby in the mother's womb. There are those doing that, but one part of our government and one part of those who are running to be the leaders in our country are ones that have pleasure in them that do that. That's what Paul writes here, worthy of death. Not only to do that, but have pleasure to do that. And if you vote for those, then you are showing that you have pleasure in doing that, and you are worthy of death, and death will come. God's judgment will come. They that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. One of God's shells that will be fulfilled. And only can be otherwise if you are guilty of it and repent. Turn away from it and ask for forgiveness. Like Paul could say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that's what we have. And when we bring death to others, we are murderers. And no murderer will enter the kingdom of God. So as Paul ends that chapter, he is showing what will happen to those who take lightly the law of God and break it. Yes, that is there. And we can say of other things that are there in chapter 2, see there direct references to the law or the word law used. As we see in verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as sin in the law shall be judged by the law. That is the teaching to a church that is no different than yours or mine. It is for the church of all ages. And Paul is teaching that to those in this church at Rome. And it applies to us fully today. Let me read it again. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And the fact is that those of us in church who either know the law of God or should know it, if we are refusing it like some do, we are more guilty than the world. To whom much has been given, much will be required. To whom little is given will be beaten with few stripes, and to whom much has been given will be beaten with many stripes. I've said many in the church will be thinking more about politics in these coming weeks than they will about the Bible, thinking about what government is doing and not doing. Do we realize that we in the church are more guilty than the government? We know if we're in the church. We have every reason to know. We have every means to know. The Word of God, the answer. The answer to the problem in our country. The answer to the problem in every part of our country. We know it. They don't. Not all of them. Some of them don't want anything to do. They leave out one of our political parties and giving the way of salute to the country, left out that we are one nation under God. Do not want to say it. Do not want to admit it. But we are one nation under God. Under God's blessing so far. And we will also be under God's judgment whenever He will bring that judgment. It could come any time. It may come through corrupt government. It may come through blind leaders of the blind. And we are headed in that way more and more. Our young people are taught that is the right way. Other countries have suffered with it, and we are foolish enough to want to follow them in those terrible ways of lies. Ungodly. As Paul writes in that second chapter, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. That lessens the church tremendously. There are hearers in the church, but less and less doers. Again, those who have pleasure in murder are not doers of the law of God. Those that don't have any thought of loving God, giving Him His rightful place as Creator. Yes, Creator, not the lie of evolution. All those are hearers, but not doers of believing what God has said and what God has done. Everything that is there in creation is what God has done. We can also read of that in the first chapter. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. That's what creation does. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's there, clearly seen, understood by the things that are made. I saw a graph the other day of the things that people believe and don't believe. Almost everything was more unbelievers than believers. The scriptures and Christ's resurrection, the second coming, all those things, more people that didn't believe than did believe it. But when it still came to a knowledge that there is a God, that was still over 50%. Less and less with the young people, and becoming less with the older ones as well. What do we do with that knowledge of God? Listen to what Paul tells us. But that when they knew God, that there is a God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain of their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And we have it in two ways, especially. One is that we're not thankful for the Creator, who gives the sunshine and the rain, who also can bring judgment. Yes, he can bring curses or blessing on a nation by nature, and he does. He did it with Israel. We can read plainly of it, the examples. One of our mayors in the Western states said that the judgments that are there, fires that are there in their state, are because of climate change. That's not a judgment of God. He's fulfilling what we read here. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain of their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. How we need to bow before that God. I was thankful today in the mail that we received a letter from our representatives of our state. A great number of them signed it, and they gave a calling of September 24 for a day of prayer and fasting and humiliation. How thankful we can be. They quoted Lincoln as doing that, and now our state representatives have done that for the state of Michigan, and how we should do that. I know that will be passed when this comes on the air for the rest of you, and it being a few weeks before it gets broadcast, but you can do it after that as well. And I'm thankful that we had that calling from our representatives, that they know the need of it, and they know the hope in it. Yes, there's a hope in it. God told Solomon, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek his face, he will hear from heaven. And the judgments that were spoken of just before that will not come. Yes, we have judgments of wind, fire, hurricanes, tornadoes, more and more. Thankfully, in this area, we have been blessed, so blessed, not having any of those calamities, but others do. And we need to pray for one another, but also pray and humble ourselves that we will have the blessing that God can give and has given to us. And that's one thing we should be thankful for, what God has blessed this nation. And above all, the blessing of his holy law, by which we know our sin. And more than that, the blessing of the gospel, by which we can be forgiven for our sin. Yes, that's all in the Bible. And how thankful we can be for a word that has not changed. Our nation sadly has changed, but the Bible has not. And thankfully we can go back to the faith of our pilgrim forefathers if we but believe the word of God, beginning with his holy law. As we read in the second chapter, Paul takes to task those who know the law and teach the law, but don't do it themselves. We read in verse 17 of Romans chapter 2, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou art thyself a guide of the blind, a light of them that sit in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth of the law. and then this solemn question. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest that a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through the breaking of the law dishonorest thou God. How is that seen today? What word is used? The rest of the nation looks at the church oft times as hypocrites. We know the law, but we dishonor God terribly in many ways. We dishonor him by not recognizing him as creator. And if he's creator, he has a right to be the lawgiver. And if we know both of those things rightly, we will know the need of a redeemer, which every one of us needs. And everyone that believes God's word in repentance, humbling ourselves, acknowledging, like Paul said in the next chapter of the law, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We could be just if we obeyed the law. I said that last week and times before. Christ told the rich young ruler, this do and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. But no one has done it. All have sinned and come short. Again these words, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul had that himself. Paul wasn't a hypocrite. Paul could speak the word to others, and he had learned it himself. As he said in verse 9 of chapter 7, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. He died. He was worthy of eternal death. The wages of sin is death. But thankfully, that's not the only message in Scripture. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord became a servant. Our Lord humbled himself to the death of the cross. He died on it. He knew that was needed because we sin. He could say on the cross, it is finished. He knew that his blood would wash away all sin. Do we know it? Do we know the word of God as we should? Do we know it to the glory of God? Do we know it to the humbling of ourselves? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, everyone, preachers, have to learn it first ourselves and do it ourselves and not be like those in the second chapter here. Thou that teachest another, teachest not thou thyself. Solemn words to myself, to all others that are preachers of the word. But we must call for God to give more preachers, and to give preachers more of the message of God's word, the gospel, and the call to repentance for every way, for God's glory, for the upbuilding of the church, and for the good of our nation at this particular time.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise